Business Baby with Melissa Ambry on Blog Talk Radio. Savvy solutions for your business. Hello, everyone. We are on with It's Business, Baby, with Melissa Ambers. Our guest today is Shahar Wright, Esquire, business law attorney, business strategist. Shahar has been working with business owners that takes risks to help them earn a profit, to strategize, build a long-lasting business relationship. And we've come across, you know, via the internet, like I do with most of my guests. And, you know, I'm like, well, why not? We need to have some law within our business. And we all have these questions that we don't know how to ask, or simply we don't know what to ask because we don't know. We're not attorneys. So we are excited to have her on the show with us today. So, Shahar Wright, welcome to It's Business, Baby.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So tell us how you went on your journey of, you know, starting out, you know, I would guess as a lawyer, then turn it into a business. And actually, I didn't say it before, but the company name is the CEO Effect. So how did you tie the two together and decide, okay, I'm going to take this journey?
Well, you know, it's really been a process. The CEO Effect really was born out of my law firm. I started my own law practice in January of 2000, and I did that because I couldn't find a job doing the kind of practice that I wanted, and because I was struggling trying to find a job, I just decided to open up my own law firm with hopes that, you know, eventually I would, you know, get a job somewhere else. So I really never thought about, truly, you know, thought about what it meant to be a business owner and what it all took to be a business owner. So I, you know, had been practicing, and when I was working with my clients, I was noticing that a lot of the problems, a lot of the legal issues they were having were because of some of the business operations in their business. And so I started working with certain clients to help them in their operations, becoming like an operations officer in their company, doing a lot of strategic planning, implementation, you know, various different things that I would be doing for their companies. And I enjoyed it. I liked doing it a lot. And 3 years ago, I started working with another company. It was a startup. And I was really basically the business manager for the company and really working on the operations. And it was a product based, and I was working with manufacturers. I was working on not just the legal side, but the financial side, you know, marketing, all of that kind of stuff. And I really, really liked doing that portion of it. So when I left that company, I decided that that's really what I wanted to focus on and really work with small businesses who wanted to expand, who wanted to grow, but really needed help on the operations side. So I started the CEO Effect last year to really focus on doing that. And that's how the CEO Effect got started, and that's really how my journey began, kind of not really knowing that I wanted to be a business owner to realizing that that was the best thing for me, but also how to help other business owners to be better at what they do in expanding their business.
Okay. So why do you think it's difficult for most small businesses to survive the next generation?
I think there's several factors. I mean, the most obvious is economics. A lot of times I make distinctions between what I call a micro business, meaning that you're making less than $250,000, from a small business that could be up to $5 million. And I think in that micro business, it's very difficult because it's almost like a job in a sense that, you know, the amount of money, while $250 may seem like a lot, in reality it's not when you own your own business. So It's almost like a salary. It's almost like a job. So it's usually one or two people that are working. And so that kind of business is very difficult to survive, you know, going to the next level. And so the financial portion of that, being able to keep with the finances, to be able to maintain what you need to do in order to move your business on and, you know, create a strong, thriving business is very difficult generation. or even, you know, over a long term, over a period of 10 to 20 years, it becomes very difficult. So that would be the first thing that I would say is the economics of it. Another thing that is that, you know, because with small businesses, if you don't really, you know, a lot of times when you start a business, you start it from a particular passion. It's something that you like to do, you enjoy doing, and so you turn that into a business. And what happens is that you have that passion for that particular thing, but all the other things that are necessary to run your business, you may not necessarily have a passion for. And so those things get dropped. Those balls get dropped. They don't get paid attention to, and it causes stress in your business. So what you do, you may do very well, but the other things that are necessary to run your business, if you're not paying attention to it or have somebody that's there to pay attention to it, it causes more problems in the business. So then when that happens, you can't sell it because you've got a lot of problems in the business and nobody wants to buy it. And if you have kids that want to take over or things like that, they may say that it's way too much stress or something that they may not be interested in doing. So, you know, you can't pass it on. So those would be the two biggest reasons I would say that it's hard to get a business to a second generation.
Okay, well, actually, let's back up a little bit. With a business owner, you know, we have a lot of people that, you know, is, I would say, is more obsessed with, I want to work for myself, I don't want to work for anyone else, and not really having that business savvy, and they just know, okay, I'm going to go run down here, get me a DBA, all right, I'm a business owner, I'm an entrepreneur, not realizing, you know, all these other steps of things that they need to do to, you know, get their stuff up, the networking, branding, web, I mean, all of, you know, everything that they have to do. So what would you say to someone that's thinking about starting a business? You know, as you say, they may be passionate about someone, something that they want to do, but don't get it confused with, I always use this as an example. I'm truly passionate about some shoes, but I don't want a shoe store. I'm not interested in selling no shoes and none of that, but I love me some shoes. So not getting it confused with something that you're in love with. Oh, we actually dropped her. Hopefully she'll call us back in a few minutes. So basically it's just, you know, some of us, you know, we get so tied into, oh, here we go. Shahara?
Yeah, here, I'm sorry about that.
Okay, no problem. So, you know, what I was saying is, you know, well, we won't get it confused with something that we really enjoy, that we like, we love, into something that, you know, I have experience in, I really know how to do this, I love what I'm doing, and I see that it's a solution for someone else. So how would you explain that to someone that's wanting to take that journey?
You know, I think that people start businesses for all kinds of reasons. And it may be because they're sick of their job and they really kind of want to do things on their own. It may be born out of a passion. You know, there's lots of reasons to do it. So what I try to impress upon people isn't why you shouldn't do it, but the reality of what it means to own your own business. Because owning your own business means you're doing it on your own. You know, you may have investors, you may have certain people that are helping you. You know, that may happen. But the truth is that the stability, the survival, everything about that business, it's on you. And as one of my friends says, is that you eat what you kill. You know, and so there's no stability in that. You don't always know what's going to happen or when it's going to happen. And so you really have to hustle. You really have to put everything in there to make it survive. And I think that if you understand that that's something that you have to do, if you understand that this is the focus that you have to have in order to make your business work, then you may be ready to do it. But I think you have to comprehend that. And I don't know that people really comprehend that when you do it. I know I didn't. I don't think I realized what all it was going to take to make my business survive. And I didn't think I really understood what all needed to go into really having a business. I don't think I really understood that myself. So I think that there's just some reality that has it. It seems sexy on TV, you know, when people talk about having their own business and making their own money and being millionaires, it seems like it's so much easier than what it actually is. But it's much more work than I think anybody ever realizes. And so you have to be willing to put that in there. And you have to be dedicated to certain things. So I think that's one of the things that you have to do. And then another thing that I think you have to do is you have to recognize that you have to invest in yourself. One of the things that I find that happens with a lot of small business owners is that they want people to do hookups. They want people to, you know, discount. They want people to do certain things, which is fine at certain levels. But there comes a point in time where you have to invest in your business. You individually have to invest in your business, meaning you're going to have to pay people to do certain things for you. You're going to have to make some decisions about how things work in your business and be willing to put money into your business. And you are going to have to be willing to do that. And if you're not willing to do that yourself, then nobody else is going to want to do that. I mean, I run into business owners all the time that are looking for investors. And when you ask them what they put into their business, they tell you about why they don't have any money and they can't do it and they need somebody else to fund their dreams. Well, you can't do that. You have to really be willing to invest in your own business if you want other people to invest in you, and you have to be willing to invest in your own business if you really want to go to another level in your business. You've got to be willing to do that.
That's an excellent point of mentioning that, of investing in yourself and, you know, looking for some investors to invest in you. You can't, you know, well, I pay for my DBA, so I need somebody else to bring me some money. I mean, you have to take time. It's not an overnight success, and you have to be willing to do the work to get to a certain point. So excellent, excellent point. I'm glad that you brought that up. What, as an attorney, what level, maybe range that a person should look at where, okay, I have my DBA. Now, should I incorporate? Should I stay a sole proprietor? You know, what should I do? What level should they be at before they take that step to say, okay, let me go ahead and invest in this and become an LLC?
You know, my philosophy is that you plan for where you want to be. I mean, you set up for where you want to be. So the first thing I always say is, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And depending upon where you see yourself in 5 years, I think that's where you start. So if in 5 years you see yourself at, you know, $100,000 or more, and you plan on, you know, expanding and having employees and things like that, if that's where you see yourself, then I say do your LLC, your incorporation now, because it's easier to do it when you first start than it is to change things around, you know, after the fact. Because after the fact, even though you might do your LLC or you incorporate, what ends up happening is that you got to change your contracts, you got to change, you know, a bunch of different things, your bank accounts, and a lot of stuff has to change to make that switch, and it costs more money. So do it in the beginning. So that would be the first thing. And then the next thing is that if you don't really see yourself, like somebody might do embroidery, you know, and they just like doing it out of their home, and it's something very simple for them, and that's what's all they want to do, then a DBA would be fine because you don't really see it going past you as an individual. It's just something that's a side thing. Maybe you're just making, you know, some money on the side, or maybe, you know, it's just something that you do as a hobby as you need to, but it's not a full-fledged business, so to speak, where, you know, you're serving a significant amount of clients. Then a DBA would work, but I don't think that the DBA should be your first set to say, okay, I open my business. I think that if you're really serious about being a business owner, then you're going to should be planning ahead, at least for the next 5 years, and trying to figure out where you're trying to be, and that's where you set up your company now at the beginning to be where you want to be in 5 years.
Okay. All right. And, you know, part of that work that a lot of us don't want to do or we don't see from somebody else because, oh, well, she's doing this, I could do that, or she's using this system, I'm going to use this system, and, you know, I could be successful too. But that pretty ugly that nobody ever sees that a lot of people don't want to do or discuss. And we discuss that here on This Business Baby. We talk about it. because we know that there's a lot of work behind the scenes that people don't see to get your business to a certain point. So one of your bullet points that we talked about before was, you know, you had some good points in there, and one of them is why ignoring the obvious will devastate your business. Would that be part of that pretty ugly that nobody likes to talk about, or would there be some more points in there?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the things. I think, you know, I talk about this this concept about the entrepreneurial ego. And it's an interesting concept because a lot of people have written about it and talked about it. There's been studies. But we as entrepreneurs, business owners, seem to think that we know everything and that we know what's going on in our business and that we know what's wrong. If I only had this, if I only had that, you know, you talk about that. And so that ego prevents us from allowing other people to come in and assist us with whatever needs to be assisted with. And a lot of times that may have to do with, you know, for say money. So let's just say, you know that you need to do some marketing, social media, and you know that you can post and you know you can do this and you can do that and you can do it all yourself, but you say, I don't need anybody to help me to do that. But there are people out there who have studied what works, who studied, you know, what type of posts kind of work. They've studied language. They understand all of that kind of stuff. So them posting instead of you posting would make a difference versus you doing it because they have the background in order to make those posts and you don't. But what happens is that you feel like what they know is not valuable. It's not useful to you. I don't need them. I can do it myself. And so that's the kind of thing that is trying to be blinders on about stuff that you have. And that's really a real simple example, but that could be true about a lot of things. That could be true about your tax returns, right? That you feel like you can, you know, easily do your own tax return. You don't need to hire a CPA or anybody like that to do your tax return. So you choose to do it yourself as opposed to hiring a professional because you either don't think that it's important, you know, that it's something simply that you could do, or you feel like, you know, you don't want to spend the money on that. And so you put blinders on about stuff that's going on in your business. So all of those things kind of culminate. So when you start having problems with the IRS or you can't, your social media posts don't go anywhere and nobody's reacting, you blame the people or blame somebody else as opposed to taking responsibility and saying, I need to do something different. I don't know, so I need to hire somebody who does know. And those are the things that I think that hold us back, that we are not willing, and I include myself in that too, because there were points in my business that I was not willing to reach out and bring in professionals to help me do the stuff that I need to do because I felt like I knew better. And so I think you have to come to a point where you say, I don't know better. I don't know everything there is to know. I do need to bring some help in, and I'm going to be willing to pay for it. And that's kind of that blinders thing that you have to kind of get past.
Wow. So true. Again, another, you know, excellent point of getting past that, and you can't do it all yourself. And so many get, you know, bogged down with that of, you know, I don't want to spend the extra money. I can't afford to hire anybody. I'm going to sit do it myself. But what a lot of business owners fail to realize is, okay, you think you're saving money by not paying, you know, anyone, whether you hire them in as an employee, outsource it, subcontract it, whatever. If you're sitting doing all of this yourself, you don't have time to go out and get no new clients, which means you're not going to bring in any money. So you're really losing out instead of saving like you think you are. So listen in, everybody. If you're, you know, you need to pay attention because there are some excellent points in there. The other thing is like the strategies, and I think the strategies would tie into what we're just talking about, the four most important strategies that businesses need to survive. And I know there's a lot of them out there, and of course there's a lot of free resources on the internet that a lot of people fail to research and do. Again, you got to put in the work. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about those four strategies. It's time for Tiny Tips with a Huge Impact.
So one of the tips that I think works really well for small businesses is understanding contracts and what's important in a contract. In a contract, you want to make sure that you have really state the parties, like who's a part of the contract. You want to state the terms very clearly. Do not assume that somebody else knows what you mean, because you have to write the contract for somebody who's never, is not a part of the who's not a part of it, who would read it and never know what was going on. So you need to be very clear about the terms. And the next thing you need to make sure is that you have the signatures correct. If you an LLC or a corporation, you want to make sure you have the name of the corporation, you have a byline, and your name and your title. That shows that you are an agent of the corporation and you are not individually liable for the contract. Make sure you put that a part of your contract. That's very important. I am Shahara Wright with the CEO Effect, and this is your tip.
We are back with Ms. Wright and the CEO Effect. Be sure you're on Twitter with It's Business Bay, BAB1, hashtag Savvy Solutions. And we're on Facebook, It's Business Baby. Be sure you're commenting, that you're listening in. And as you know, I always post a link. You could click the link and listen to it at any time or listen to it as many times as you would like. So today we have some legal, I won't say strictly legal advice, but we have an attorney on the line, and she's giving some excellent tips and pointers, so be sure you're paying attention, taking your notes. And before we left off, we went to break, and we were talking about the four most important strategies small businesses need to survive. So let's go ahead and get into that. What are some of those strategies?
So these strategies are big strategies, and within those there are going to be subsets, of course. But everything that you need is really going to be legal, financial, marketing, or management. Those are the things that your business has on. Those are the four major parts of your business. So you need to have a legal strategy, you need to have a marketing strategy, you need to have a financial strategy, and you need to have a management strategy. And all four of those things are important. A lot of times what happens with small businesses is that we focus on one or two of them, and the other two get ignored, or the other three get ignored, and then problems start to occur. So, of course, you know, a lot of times people will focus on the marketing strategy because, you know, they know they need to do some marketing, and they may focus on financial, or they may focus on legal, but they're not really focused overall on the business. And so in order to really have a strong business, you need to focus on all four.
Okay. What are some of a starting point? So say if someone needed that legal strategy and, you know, I know I need it, but I don't know where to start. I don't know what I should, shouldn't do. What are some starting points for someone looking for legal?
Well, for legal, the first thing I'm going to tell you, and it may sound self-serving, but you need to get a lawyer, and at least to have the consultation. You want to make sure that you do that so that you can ask a lawyer, you know, about get some information about your business and get a strategy that you can do. Because one of the things I always do with my clients when they come in with a consultation and say, hey, I'm starting a business and I just need to know, we talk about, where are you going in the next, you know, 5 years? What things that you need to do? And here are some things that you have going on in your business, and these are things that you want to look out for. And I kind of make a list for my clients about some things. Do right away, some things we won't do right away, but at least we have some kind of idea of some things that need to happen. So as a starting point, I would say you have a lawyer to at least consult with, and make that a part of your budget, that you have a lawyer to consult with so that you can sit down and get some strategies about what you need to do. You can budget for the things that you need to do, so that everything may not happen all at once. You may not have the ability to do everything all at one time, but you can implement them over time, and you can make sure that you budget accordingly to bring those in as necessary. So on the legal side, that would be, you know, the first thing that I would say you need to do. And actually that would be true for a lot of the different areas as well. On the financial side, accountant, a CPA to sit down and talk with, a marketing person to kind of sit down and talk with, someone, a business strategist, and that could be, you know, any one of those people could do that for you as well, to have some management decisions about, you know, employees and how you set up your company organizational-wise and all of that kind of stuff, maybe things that you need to do. So you want to make sure that you have somebody that you speak to that can help you with organizing that. And so that would be the first thing, and I think that you should budget to have that patience with the necessary professionals so that you can get something in place to know these are things that I need to do as I'm planning.
Okay, so with an attorney, you know, as you know, it's the Internet, World Wide Web, everybody's on it, legitimate people and non-legitimate people. What are some of the questions to ask or some of the things to look for if they're looking for an attorney to know, okay, this person just isn't going to take my money, I'm really going to a true attorney and not your roadside attorney. So what are some of the questions to ask or some of the things to look for as they're researching for an attorney?
Well, the first thing I think in terms of researching is I would go to a referral-based place. You know, wherever state you're in, they have a state bar. Usually if you're in a relatively, you know, large city, and it doesn't have to be a major city, but most, you know, big cities have local bars. And when I say bar, I don't mean like the club kind of bar, but that's what we call our legal association, a bar. So you have some local bars that you can call and ask for a referral. And they won't refer anybody who's not a licensed. So that's one place that you can do. And, of course, there's Internet searches that you can do, other referral agencies that are out there. But that's where I would start, with where your state or local bar association, where you can get a referral for an attorney. And then you want to ask for somebody that does business law. You know, so you want somebody that, you know, understands small businesses, understands dealing with businesses. That's something that you want. So those would be, you know, in terms of starting and looking for somebody. I think in terms of questions that you should ask, I think you should be prepared to understand your business as much as possible and be able to ask specific questions to what you need. It may be questions about, you know, what entity, as we talked about, you should do and which entity would be best for your particular type of company. It may be about licenses. If you need specific types of licenses for your business, that might be something that you need to know about. If there's some kind of contracts that you need to have business to business or business to customer, or those kinds of things you might need to know about. So I think you want to understand at least your entity, your type of industry that you're in, and what all things that you need in order to operate your business. Those would be the things that I would start off in terms of asking an attorney in your initial consultation to see, you know, what they know and what they understand. And I think through those questions, you can see if you have a good rapport. I think you'll see if you're getting your questions answered in that time, if they know. I think you will find out. So I think, you know, you can really learn a lot by just asking questions about what you need. I don't really find it helpful for, you know, you to interview a particular professional, a particular attorney about their background and what they do. I mean, of course you can ask. I don't mean that to ask, but I don't think you're going to get any time spending an hour paying for an hour asking them a bunch of questions about themselves. I think you get more benefit asking about what you do and how they can help you do what you need to do. And I think from that point of view, you can be able to get a lot of information from the attorney to determine whether or not it's somebody that you can work with in order to grow your business over a long period of time.
Okay. All right. So that's, you know, a smart move, and this is pretty much with anyone you talk to that you're paying fees to, consultants, attorneys, CPAs, whoever, to be smart with your time. So if you notice you're paying them a fee for a certain amount of time, don't go in with too many of the pleasantries and, oh, I don't want to seem this way. Hi, how you doing? Okay, let's get to it. Because all your pleasantries, most people are really strict on their time. And if you spend too much time, how you doing, how's the weather, how was traffic, all of this extra, you're eating at your time, which means the what you really set your appointment up for, it's going to be cut short because it ate up your time. So you have to be strict and know who you're talking to. Some are not strict with their time. They want the pleasantries, and they may ask you, you know, certain things, you know, things, okay, traffic, whatever. And then as you build that relationship with them, of course, you know, that's going to change. But be aware of your time, who you're meeting with, and what their requirements are so you won't eat away at your time when you're meeting with someone. How can a business make sure that they're scalable, sellable, and sustainable?
Well, I think, you know, being to make sure that you're scalable or that you're sellable and that you're sustainable, I think it goes back to what we're talking about is that implementing those strategies into your business and over a period of time and ensuring that you continuously do that. One thing I'm really big on is strategic planning, especially for our ongoing businesses. A lot of time what happens is that when you start a business, you do a business plan, you kind of throw it together for loan purposes, trying to get a loan. If you get the loan, that's great. If you don't, you just throw it in a drawer and you never look at that business plan again. But as you go on in your ongoing business and you're looking to grow and you're looking to do things, you should have a strategic plan. And that strategic plan really should set out what you're trying to do, not just, you know, the goals that you plan on having every year or every month, what things that your strategies that you're putting in place, and it should be a working document that you're looking at, you know, every 3 months to kind of see if you're on pace to accomplish the things that you need to accomplish. You always should be having strategy sessions to make sure that you're on pace of what you're doing. So in doing that, that's how you build to have that type of business that is sellable, meaning that somebody else would want to purchase. And so you have a strong business that if you decide to sell it one day, you have a business. If you're trying to grow, then you need it to be scalable. That means that you can replicate it in other places quite, not necessarily easily, but you don't have to go through the whole thing that you did when you first started up. So that means you can bring it to scale, you can replicate it. And then you want to make sure that it's sustainable. That means it can sustain itself, that you don't have to continue to start over, so to speak, and keep, you know, redoing things over and over, that it can sustain itself and that you're not constantly having to borrow or having to put money into it and those kinds of things, that it sustains itself. Those things only come with planning. Those things only come with taking the time to make a plan to have your business be those ways. I think what happens with small businesses is that we fail to plan. And, you know, the saying goes, when you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Well, that's so true with small businesses. You have to plan. You have to take the time to sit down and write a plan of action about what you're doing, not just dreaming. Vision boards are great. I don't want to knock vision boards. They're really good. Through that vision board and all your pictures and things that you want to do, you got to have a plan. And it has to have some action into it about what and when and how you're going to do things. And you got to utilize that plan, and that's the only way you're going to grow. So to make those things happen, it starts with making a plan.
Awesome. So we're coming to the end of the show, unfortunately. And, I mean, you're giving so many excellent tips, pointers, and it's making people aware of, and it's some small things, of making them aware of things that they need to research, ask, outsource, and just be, you know, make sure that they're doing the right thing, at least starting out trying to do the right thing, and then, of course, reach your hand out and ask for help. So let everyone know how they can get in touch with you if they want to, you know, consult with you or possibly hire you. how can they reach you, your social media? If you have anything coming up, just share all of that with everyone.
Yes, so I'm on Facebook. You can, it's CEO Effect, that's CEOEFFECT, that's me on Facebook. On Twitter, it's The CEO Effect, that's THE CEO. That's my social media. You can also email me at swright, that's SWRIGHT, at theceoeffect.net. Those are ways that you can make contact with me. If you want to talk to me about business matters and things like that, just, you know, email me or message me. Those are the best ways to get in contact with me. And then we can set up and schedule an appointment. You can go to my website at theceoeffect.net. That's THECEOEFFECT.net. And we just changed the website, so there's a lot of good information there. And you can go to the blog on the website and get a lot of good information from our blog as well. So those are all ways that you can find out a lot of information. So what we have coming up is the launch of my new book called From Entrepreneur to CEO. I'm very excited about the book and what we're doing.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And it really talks about all the things that we just talked about, which is really kind of going from a business owner that just takes risk to make a profit to really looking at your business and yourself as a CEO of your business. That you're not just doing anything, but a CEO puts strategies in their business, and they look at the business as from a whole point of view, and that's what I think that we have to do as small business owners. So that's what the book is, and it's really there to help any business owner who's looking to grow their business. That's what it's there for. So you can find the book on Amazon. It's called From Entrepreneur to CEO. We're taking pre-orders right now, and the actual launch will be on June 24th, which is actually my birthday. So we're doing a big launch and everything like that. So please go to Amazon, pre-order the book, and I think it'll really help you grow your business and look at yourself in a different way.
Wow. Well, congratulations on the book. I wish you much success with that. Where are you at? Are you doing a launch book signing? Where will that be?
Yes, I will. I'm in Houston, Texas, and so the book launch will be in Houston. We actually are sold out, so I'm really excited about that. We actually sold out of the book launch, the actual physical with the book signing, but we will have many more. We will have some more, and then we're also going to do some online things as well on the launch and Periscoping and Facebook Live and that kind of stuff, so you can definitely still take a part of that if that's something that you would like to do. So you can always contact me on any of the social media to find out more about that. So, yeah, but we will have an actual book signing, an actual book launch, and we'll Periscope that, do Facebook Live as well on that so that people can see it. So definitely find me on social media so that you can see the launch, and then you can also order copies of the book and, you know, get autographed copies as well.
Okay, well, too bad, everybody, if you missed out on that one. It's sold out. So, you know, but we're going to congratulate you on that and much success. And we'll look forward to the second launch since this one has sold out so quickly. So we wish you all the success on that. Thank you so much for coming on, sharing, and just being open with, you know, the tips that you've been sharing today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it. I hope everyone learned a lot, and I look forward to talking with you again.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful evening.
You do the same.
Okay, bye.